Galatians chapter number 5, last time we looked at verse number 16, well, I'm going to go back into verse 16 here, just to kind of do some stuff and then get into verse 17 and 18 and then and keep going. But there's an interesting thing in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We looked last time at that issue of what's going on. This I say then, because of our liberty, because of who we are in Christ, our identity, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I said last time, that's the mechanics of how your Christian life is designed to function. That is, it's designed to function in walking in the flesh. Now, I drew my little dude, and I did the soul, the spirit, and the man, but we're going to do it a little different today because I want you guys to understand something about your inner man and what's going on here. Because in verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There's an issue here that we have to understand, because what happens is there's a group out, there's people out there that say there's only one nature. It's called one naturism. And that is the moment you get saved, your old nature ceases to exist. Well, this verse just told you differently, didn't it? Okay? But then there's the issue of a two-nature-ism, and that's what I am, if you need to label me. I believe you have two natures. You have an old nature and you have a new nature, an old man and a new man, an old sin nature, we call it. Old sin nature is where everybody gets all upset because old sin, that term, the old sin nature, is not in your Bible. But in Romans 6, it is called the body, your flesh is called the body of sin, which would be what? Your old sin nature, okay? So what happens is for those of us who understand and believe in the two natures of a believer, okay, then you need to understand what's happening to you, okay, and the anatomy of what you're being made as a believer, okay? And I just want to spend this morning doing that with you. And then, because of what's going on here in Galatia, this verse, verse 16, is a command. Okay? This is a command verse. This is not a verse, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. This is a verse that, as a believer, you are to do. It's a command verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Come over with me just real quick to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. It's interesting when you talk to people about grace that they instantly don't think you're under the law, okay? And when I say that you're not under the law, I'm talking about under commands, okay? For me to sit here and say, when you come in here, you need to be quiet when we're going to study, okay? All right? For me to say that, Jerry said, well, we're not under the law. That's not a law. That's a command, okay? All right, the law is a performance-based acceptance. I'm not accepting on you whether you come in here and be quiet or not, okay? But what I'm asking you is to be courteous of me and the people on the Internet and the taping that's going on to come in, be quiet, sit down, and let's study, okay? All right? Paul commands us to do stuff. When you talk about grace, there are commands in grace, okay? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what, what's that next word? Commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. What commandments did he give them by the Lord Jesus Christ? Not thou shalt not. What did he give them? Verse 1, how you ought to walk and to please God. There are the commandments. And you know what he says? Do the commandments. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You see, folks, come back over to Galatians, but on your way stop at Ephesians 2. We talked about this verse yesterday in our men's meeting a little bit. Ephesians 2, verse number 10. See, the issue is, this verse in Galatians 5:16 is a command. You are to walk in the Spirit. That's what you're to do. As a believer, this is where you're to be. Ephesians 2, verse number 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The should there is the imperative, and it is a command should. Carries this is what you're doing. Okay, there are some good works that he's created for you to do, and you are going to do them. Now, when you talk about commands, so go back to Galatians 5. Grace doesn't mean that God isn't interested in good works. Okay? Grace doesn't mean that God hasn't told you some stuff to do. We think that. We get drummed in. Actually, you're in there on a spiritual high because you just understand, you're just coming to understand that you're not underneath a performance system, that you have this liberty and this freedom. So then when somebody comes along and says, hey, you ought to behave like this, oh, you're putting me under the law. No. What is the law? If you perform, then I accept you. Right? Grace doesn't say that. And that's why I said a minute ago, I don't accept you whether you come and sit in this room and not say a word or whether you come in here and I can't get you to be quiet. Okay? There's some common courtesy issues, all right? But the command in grace, this verse here about walking in the Spirit is a command. You are to do this. So in order to do this, what do you need to do? You need to understand something about your makeup. A command here under grace doesn't have a motivation of fear. There's no penalty. If you don't walk in the Spirit, God isn't going to zap you and to cancel you out of heaven. Okay? Which is what some religions teach. The motivation under grace is what? That love and that appreciation, the gratitude, the thankfulness. Hey, he died for me, so I'm going to go live for him. An understanding of the doctrine. We were talking yesterday and last week as well. That internal buildup of that sound doctrine produces an external compulsion to perform. It comes from inside of you. So what you need to do is you need to understand your makeup as a believer. Now, in your makeup as a believer, and by the way, when I use red, can you see that on the internet? Okay. Better than green or blue or any different? I was going to ask you later, but about the same. Okay. By the way, this is Jody from Colorado. She's always on the internet. Okay? And she's live and in person today, which is good. I got a story. I don't know if you follow me on Facebook or anything, but I put this note about the guy. I was walking back to the office midweek, and I hear this. I'm already almost standing behind me. Hey, are you that preacher? And there's been a guy watching us on the internet. And he lives just right over here. But in the mornings, he goes to a Baptist church somewhere around here. But in the evenings, Sunday evenings and Wednesday nights, he watches us here. So I asked him Friday, I said, how'd you find us? And he said, well, I was on a walk Sunday morning, and I saw your sign. So I went and Googled you and tapped in. So I said, when I see him at the end of the day, he's making a pit stop at our yard to continue on his route. You know, we have a lot of that between the yards. When you have to use the restroom, you can't go but only in the yard. You can't stop in a McDonald's. Well, you can, but you'll get in trouble. Because on the way out of McDonald's, what are you grabbing? A little of this, a little of that, right? So he was stopping, and he says, I don't have enough time to chat. I said, well, we should get together sometime. So I'll try to chase him down enough to get that. But anyways, that's a rabbit trail. We looked last time. You're made up of a soul and a spirit. I'm sorry. I already got that going the wrong way, don't I? And you guys didn't even stop me, did you? See? Boy. You're made up of a spirit. You're made up of a soul. And you're made up of a body. If you're going to be human, you're in those three categories. If you're human. Okay? If you're not human, you're an animal. And guess what you don't have? A soul. You have a spirit, because that's how you can, you know, a spirit of man. Everybody in this room has a spirit of a man. That's how you can hear me, how you can understand me. When you talk to your dog and you tell him what a wonderful, dirty, rotten, rascal, scoundrel dog he is, he wags his tail, looks your face, thinks, you know, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Okay? But your soul, your body, soul, and spirit. Now, your spirit and your soul are what are your inner man. When we talk about your inner man, what makes up your inner man is your spirit and your soul. Now, your spirit is where you connect to God. You want to be able to talk to God and connect with God. You do that in your spirit. You don't do it in your soul. You do it in your spirit. Okay? This is where you and I connect. The spirit of the man is right here in your spirit. By the way, when you die, where does your spirit go? It goes back to God. Where does your soul go? Heaven or hell? Where does your body go? Back to the dust, to the ground. Okay? So there's things going on. Your soul, that's you. That's your self-identity. That's you. What if I said with a real Bill Cooper stand up? Now his body's going to stand up, but who's standing up? His soul is standing up. The real him. The real you. Would the real you stand up? There you are. Okay? This is, by the way, in your soul. That's where your will is. That's where your heart is. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Inside of you. There's where your emotions are. There's where your conscience is. Everything that's going on about you is in your soul. Your spirit is your connection back to God. And you have that spirit of a man. That's where you connect with you and I. Okay? With me? We're just kind of talk this out a little bit. Now, your body... emotions, connections, okay. Your body is a connection to the world around you. How did you enjoy that Krispy Kreme donuts? 2 dozen, I think there's like 3 left. Consumption. How do you make that connection? And I had one. Yes, I did. Thank you very much. Okay? Actually, I had 2. But on the second one. The wife only saw the first one. Okay? How do you make your connection with this world? It's in your body. This is going to go back to the dust, isn't it? The worms eat my flesh, Job says. You know what you can do with your body? You can share it with others. Parts are parts. Transplant parts. Some of you got new knees. Some of you got new hips. Some of you need new head. I mean, you got new heart, you know. You can't share this. But you sure can share your body. Donor cards, something happened to you in an accident, they can take your brain, well, they'll take something and go one way, or they'll take a heart, your heart, your liver, all this transplant ability to have. It's amazing what modern medicine can do. Okay? All right? So you got an idea here, right, of what's going on. By the way, this is total humanity. If you don't have a piece of this, you're not human. And I know what people say. Well, really, Rick, come on. We really don't have a spirit. Yeah, you do. You know how you know you have a spirit and a soul and a body? It's a little verse called Hebrews 4, verse number 12. You know what that verse says? Look over with me at Hebrews 4. See, people, and we had a gentleman here a couple times. He doesn't believe in the three parts. I had conversations with him. He doesn't come. He's not here anymore. I don't know what happened to him, but he's not here anymore. Okay? Because... what they do is they run back to Genesis chapter number, back there in Genesis, where God breathes into man and he becomes a living soul. Okay, well, where did this, you know, all this hocus pocus twist of verses? But I got a verse, or three, really. Here's the big one. Hebrews 4, verse number 12, for the word of God is powerful, is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing the sunder of the soul, and what? Well, wait a minute. You're going to tell me that the Word of God is going to come inside you and look for a spirit that isn't there? You think the Word of God knows that there's a spirit there to deal with? And a soul to deal with? So, sometimes when you hear some of that stuff, you just got to plug your ears, do the Bronx cheer, you know what that is, Archie Bunker, and go on with it. Okay? You really do. And move along. Now, I'm not trying to be rude or mean to those folks, but they're twisting up verses because this is humanity. You have to have these three parts, okay? Now, if you're unsaved, we're going to do unsaved in green, okay? If you're unsaved, your spirit is dead, right? But who's he dead to? Not to man, but to who? To God. All right? Your soul is still you. By the way, this is the issue. But your body, that's where your old sin nature sits. Oh, man, I'm not having a good morning writing. That's that Krispy Kreme, the sugar. Okay? This is that body of sin. Romans 6, verse 6. Okay? In your unsaved state, unsaved, okay, is the green, this is the source of life. That's the source of life, is your body. Your soul is dead. When you're unsaved, you're chained together. Your soul and your body are chained together. They're like that. Okay? Follow that? Now, when you get saved, we'll do that in red for the blood. Okay? What happens? You become alive here, don't you? You're still the issue in the middle, by the way. And this becomes dead. See that? This now is the source of life. Follow that? Why is this the source of life? Because you're connected to who? To God. And He says, the words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life. This is the Word of God over here. Comes in. This is your mind. Your thinking. And moves along. Okay? Now, the big battle is right here. Whoops, I shouldn't have done that. Hang on. Let's go. Go back. The big battle is for you. That's the battle. It's who controls this guy. Is it going to be this guy? The flesh? Or is it going to be the spirit? Who controls the dude in the middle? And you know what? You got a decision to make. You do. You have a choice of your will to say, you know what? I'm going to serve him. Or, nope, I'm going to serve that guy. Now, when you got saved, the cross of Calvary, Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 11, says that he... Look at Colossians 2, 11. You got to understand, you got to see what happens with you. Colossians 2, verse 11. The moment that you got saved, what literally... You guys following this? Am I leaving you? We're just talking. By the way, this is psychology, scripturally. Psychology, psycho, the soul, ology, the study of the soul, the study of the inner man. And you know what the problem with psychology is? The psychology doesn't look at your inner man. You know what he looks at? What the body's producing. To look at a child and say they're ADHD, DD, PhD, FA, all the stupid D's, is to do nothing but look at their activity. It is, does nothing to deal with the inner, what's going on inside them. Scripture comes along and says, let's deal with the inside and we'll fix the outside. Okay? All right? Look at Colossians 2:11. In whom, so in Christ, also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. What is circumcision in your Bible? It's what? The cutting off of the flesh. Death to the flesh. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. There it is. By the circumcision of Christ. When you go to Calvary, you know what literally happens? He breaks the bond between you and your body. He gets. I tried to show that with the dude last week where he just literally cuts you away from the flesh. Now verse 13 calls it verse 12 calls it the operation of God. So he's doing it. It's a circumcision without hands. So this is a spiritual event, okay? You don't physically feel it. Have you ever worn shoes? Since I lost weight, my shoes are too big. They're the right size because the size down don't fit because of my high arch. But you know what? I feel like I got motorboats on because I got a lot of room up in the front. My watch today, I put my watch on, and it's too big. It isn't like that is your body and your soul's my wrist and it's too big and you feel like you're loose inside your body. Okay? How do I know this happened? I got two verses that tell me it did happen. And I rest my trust in the Word of God. So, this is you. Now, go back to Galatians 5. when you're unsaved, your soul, I'm going to erase this real quick. When you're unsaved, your soul is darkened. Okay? Talks over there in Ephesians about the darkness in Ephesians 2. When you're saved, you're in the light. Okay? So in an unsaved condition, spiritually you're dead. You're alienated from the life of God. You're cut off from God. Your soul is darkened. There is no life there. Now notice I said life and not function. Because your spirit functions when you're unsaved. Ephesians 2 says that you walk according to the course of this world. The spirit of what? Disobedience that now worketh in the children. Okay? You still got that. It's still functioning. You still talk to people. Okay? It's just dead. It's darkened. Your body is in control when you're unsaved. But when you get saved, all of this changes. Now, you don't get a new you. And you sure enough didn't get a new body, did you?
No.
Okay? And you don't get... It changes. How does it change? Well, your spirit becomes alive. You get light in the soul and the inner man. And your body dies. And you're cut off. You're cut away from all that. Okay? All right. You got to see this. Okay? I'm struggling to make sure that you're seeing it because the average Christian Joe out there has no clue about what's going on because the moment you get saved, all of this changes. And what it changes to is to this new man. This is the old man. Now you got a new man. And where the source of your life sits is in the spirit now, not in the flesh. So when he says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, you don't lose this dude, do you? But you're being commanded to do what? Be over here where you belong. Okay? Now it's interesting. The new man, get the blue, the new man is here to here to there. The old man is here to there. Remember I showed you that in 1 John last week, 1 Thessalonians 5, how the Lord looks at you, spirit, soul, and body. The devil, the earthy, body, soul, and spirit. Before I showed you that, if I'd asked you to name the three parts, you know how you would have named it? Body, soul, and spirit. You would have. You know why you would have? Because that's all that you hear. That's everywhere you hear it that way. Why? Because that's the course of the world. So, the new man is a new construction of the three. It's not a piece of this and a piece of that and a piece. It's a whole thing. Again, I'm human. It's the whole kit and caboodle. Okay? So when you read about Paul saying put off the old man with the deeds thereof and put on the new man, you're sitting in the middle, aren't you? And you know how you do this? You know how you walk in the Spirit? You do it by faith. That's how you do it. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. But you know what, though? To walk in the flesh is to walk in unbelief. Because you have a choice in the matter. You have to choose right here. Who are you going to serve? You can't serve two... Over there in James, he says, a double-minded man is what? Unstable in his ways. You can't serve both. Because in one moment, how many of you like jazz music? I do. Okay? the jazz band at school. We go. I'm a booster, so I'm there. You know, another concert. Here we go. You know, I said, the kids are getting better and better. But you know, jazz music is a form of rebellion music. Music has order and structure to it. And jazz removes some of that structure and says you can just do it on your free to go do. You can do that. You're free to go do this. That's why you like it. Now let me ask you something. If I had Andrea, and I'm not going to have her do this, play Amazing Grace. You'd sit there, amazing, you know. But now if I had her play it with a little jazz in it, what would happen to you? Your foot would start doing what? Tapping. Okay? This dude right here responded, didn't he? Now, inside of you, Amazing Grace, that sounds good. You know, it's great. But now if we played Amazing Grace with a little bit of a rock and roll theme to it, a little bebop, or not a bebop, but because that's something different. No, not rap. No, the hip-hop stuff, but not hip-hop, because that's rap today, see? It's the 50s and the 60s, the bebops, the guys standing on the corner. Singing Motown type stuff, okay? If you put in a little bit of Jerry Lee Lewis on dancing, what are you doing now? Now you want to get up and dance, don't you? Rhythm is up and moving, right? But if you played a big band and you did a little swing music, not what's going on? This dude's running the show. And you know what you've done? You've made a choice to let it run the show in music. You've let it run the show. How many of you watched the Coyotes yesterday? Boy, it was a lousy game till last period. Then they show up and scored two goals and had the tire right there and they just blew it. Well, what are you doing? Up and down. Why? Because I chose to sit there and watch the third period of the Coyote game. Then a little later, I made the choice of coming over here and getting ready for today, finishing up. My point is you choose all day long. And Paul says, your choice should be here all the time. Now, you know what? I know what happens to you and I, and to believers, is we get shocked when we walk in the Spirit. We're like, oh, wow, woo, I'm walking in the Spirit, woo. And you know what? That's sad. You know what it should be? It should be we get shocked when we walk in the flesh. That's what it should be. But we don't. Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of this guy. You want to beat this guy down with a stick? Concentrate on walking over here. Make a choice of faith to walk over there. As a believer, come back to Galatians 5 if I didn't tell you verse 16. First, before we move on, do you see your makeup? This is you. This is how you're made up. Your conscience, that's the norms and standards by which you evaluate your activity to be right or wrong. Your conscience were instilled into you by your parents and your grandparents. Your teachers at school, that's why there's a big push about the liberal schools and the teachers and all that. It's why it can be so dangerous and so forth. But you're influenced that way, and you've begun to have a conscience of standards. Have you ever wondered why you do certain things the way you do them? It's because of mom and dad. I've often told myself I won't do what my dad did, and guess what I'm finding myself doing? What my dad did. You know, why? Because he's my dad. And I saw it, I went through it. The twins are getting ready to drive. When they start, I will let you know to avoid East Mesa, okay? Because there's not just one, there's two. Okay? And they're getting ready for their permits. Danielle's already got the book, read it, studied it, memorized it, wants to go take the test Tuesday. I'm like, Tuesday? I haven't even got the insurance guy yet to tell me it's okay for you to go. You know? And she's like, but Dad, I can have it. I got to have it 6 months before I can get my license. And she's got the rules down. Ricky, he's read it, studied it, memorized it. But he is anxious, but he knows that his grades are dictating that he doesn't get to go as quickly as his sister does, okay? So, but the thing is what all that has to do now? Gee whiz. I don't know, forgot now. My goodness. Yeah. Oh, being like, oh, your conscience. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. The conscience. You know, you want to fix this? How do you fix that? With that over there. You want to change? And by the way, it'll be, you study, it'll change it and you don't even notice it. Because what becomes your, what is my standard of right and wrong becomes not what mom and dad said or grandma said, but what does the word say? See, it quickly shifts. Boy, you talk about people and their grandmother was wrong in teaching them that. Woo, you better duck. People love grandma. I love grandma too. I got one left. But she never taught me anything, so I'm okay, I guess. But the issue is what? You want to change it, you're going to change it with the Word of God. There's your conscience, your emotions. You want to have your emotions under control? You're not going to control them over here. You're going to control them over here by the Word of God. Up and down all the time. Don't you get tired of being up and down all the time? I sure do. So you know what I did? I said, you know what I'm going to do for me, self? I determined with myself. I'm going to walk over here and this. And then this over here, emotions, body, get the body moving. The motions are subject of the will. My will says that I'm going to get excited about this and I'm not going to get excited about that. So when I mess up over here, which I do often, just ask my wife, then you know what my will says? Okay, emotions, let's get a little angry about that activity. And let's correct the activity. Is that a good deal? Sure it is. Ephesians, Paul says, be ye angry and sin not. Anger's a righteous, boy, that's a good emotion. Because, hey, have you ever been angry at a politician? Boy, I just shot the whole room there, didn't I? Scattered them. What do you do with the politicians when you get angry with them in our system? Vote them out. What are some of you so guys so ticked off at George Bush? You guys went down there and voted in Obama thinking it would fix everything, and guess what it did? It didn't change anything. It didn't. No, it didn't. And I understand people say, oh, it made it worse. It didn't make it worse, folks. The underlining pinning stuff of what's going on, it was already there 35 years ago, 40 years ago. Study your history. Pay attention. He's just a little cog in the whole thing to get it rolling, to keep it rolling. But you guys did what? You let your anger, get on her. I posted something. I don't talk politics very often, but these guys in our legislature passing these bills, I listen to talk radio. Boy, they're hot about that. Whoop-de-doo. If you don't like it, leave. Okay? But more importantly, if you don't like it, don't vote them back in, because half the population that was calling in complaining voted the guys in downtown. Have a little responsibility for your vote. You voted them in there. If you don't like Pierce and those guys, then don't vote them back in there. But you know what that is? That's anger, isn't it? What is anger? What is that doing? It's motivating you to do what? To action. That's the emotion of anger. Action. Let's get the job done. I could care less what they do downtown, as long as they don't take away my right to carry my gun and the right to stand here and teach and preach in a public manner. Other stuff, whoop-de-doo. Whether the president, well, never mind. Like I said last week, I don't talk politics for a reason, because it's my opinion and it's my thing and that's my job with you guys. Now, I'll give you my opinions, but some of you won't like it. This is you. See what's going on here. As a believer, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Make progress in life where? In the Spirit. Come along over here and access the source of life. By the way, this is grace and this is the law. We're going to see that in the next verse here, which we've got to get moving to. When you walk in the flesh, Romans 8 tells us that you mind fleshly things. When you walk in the flesh, you pay attention to fleshly things. That's what you do. When you walk in the Spirit, Romans 8 also tells us, you mind what? The things of the Spirit. So if I'm thinking about things of the Spirit, guess where I'm going to be walking? Right over here. And if I'm thinking about things in the flesh, guess where I'm at? I'm right over here. That's what's going on as a believer. The command to the believer is to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the way that you have been arranged now to walk in. You've been arranged to walk in to being dead to the body, being dead to the flesh, and alive to God. By faith and an act of faith, walk in who you are now over here in Christ. Progress in life and who you are. Focus in on who you are over here. Focus in on the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith. That's why Galatians 2:20 hangs on the wall. You guys thought I was just doing something to make the room look better. We spent 4 weeks talking about that verse. There's a reason why. Because it's not I, but Christ that liveth in me. I have a mindset now, a thinking process, a mind of living this way. Now, I know you got to feed this guy with physical food. You got to put clothes on. You like my new suit? Okay, thank you. Like my new tie? Very good. Good, thank you. Why? Because what I lost 60 pounds. I needed a new piece of... I needed something to cover up the other 25 that's got to go. Okay? And you should say thank you for doing that, by the way. Okay? If you're going to make progress in life, folks, you're going to make it over here in the Spirit. Now, watch verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The conflict is given now. Verse 17 is the frustration of Romans chapter number 7. When Paul over there goes, man, the good I would, I can't do. Man, the good I want to do right here, I can't do. And the bad I'm doing and all this back and forth. Why? Because there's a conflict going on inside of you. And what the conflict is teaching, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. You know what you learn there? You don't lose the flesh. It's still there. You're still going to fight it. You're still going to do battle with it. It's connected to you as long as you're walking on the earth. Okay? So the question is, well, why did God do it that way? Well, let me ask you something. We get a new body, right? God had to leave you here. Because if you gave your new body, where's your new body designed to function? In heavenly places. Where would you have gone? To heaven. Well, then who would be here to do the ambassador work? To be able to say, hey, you need the gospel to get the next guy. There wouldn't be anybody. We'd all be in heaven, which would be okay. But, you know, we'd be kind of lonely because there would have just been Paul. Okay? So he has to leave you here so that you're able to then do what? The ambassadorship for Christ. He has to leave you in this body. So you know what this body has become? It is simply a vehicle. How'd you get here today? You got in your car, you turned on the key, it started, and off you came. And you stopped and put $10 in gas, and I got you a gallon of gas, okay? And you got here, right? It's a vehicle. Now let me ask you something. On your vehicle, when the tires go bald, do you go up to your car and say, okay, sweetheart, love you dearly, glad, but what kind of tires would you like? Would you like Goodyears, Michelins, or off the back end of Costco over here, the Costco? Which, you don't ask them that, do you? So then what in the world are you doing asking your body what you should be doing? You're dead to it. See? Different thinking about this. When I got up this morning, we got a new hot water heater at home. Ooh, 50-galloner. Ooh, I got kids, man, and they suck up the water. Okay, plus the other one was 13 years old and we couldn't keep the pilot light lit. So they come, big mama jumbo, big fat boy, big old thing, right? And it slids in and it's rubbing up again. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Okay? I've got hot water today. Woo! Now you get in there and you go, do I want a cold shower or do I want a hot shower? They don't do that. You get in, you make it warm, In the old house, the pipes ran on the outside of the house, so it was always warm. Didn't need a hot water heater. We never had cold water because the pipes are, both pipes are running out there, but they're all in the sun and they're all in the heat. So that's just a vehicle. That's all that is. To get you from here to there, to keep you connected to who? To Earth, where you and I are designed to do, be our ambassadors. Our ambassadors, the foreign, you're in enemy territory. Your ambassadorship. You've got to be here. That's why he left you here. You got work to do. Now, he understands that your ambassadorship can't be done in this. So you know what he did? He came over here and gave you a source of life. Now let me blow your mind for just a minute. Look at Romans 12. Get Romans 12, Romans 6. Romans 12 and Romans 6. Okay, he leaves you in your body, leaves you here, so you can do, but he gives you a source of life to function in. Okay, the life of Christ. There it is. Now, watch this. Watch Romans 6, verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man, there he is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But he that is what? What are you? You're a dead man walking, aren't you? Not the Green Mile movie, but Dead Man Walking, right? Mm-hmm. Now we go on to learn in 8 that not only are we dead, but we are alive to God, right? Mm-hmm. Now watch Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? A what? Wait a minute, I thought my body was dead. God Almighty comes in and he takes your dead body and he puts a life source in it and it becomes a living sacrifice. Now, that'll blow your mind. It does mine every time I think about it. Because he took something that's old, stinking, rotten flesh that's dead, it's a body of sins, put his source of life in it, his son Christ, so that you can become a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That ought to blow your mind. And if it doesn't, you ought to think about it enough till it does. Because he crucified this guy. That dude's dead. But yet, he's using it for him. That's amazing. I'm going to go back to Galatians 5. You guys looking at me like, yeah, whoop-de-doo, Rick, we knew that already. Yeah, you look out there, Greg's got it figured out already, so, you know, he's like, next thing, come on, keep moving. Galatians 5, verse 18, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. Folks, you got a conflict going on inside of you. I don't care if you want to say that you're no-natured. You got a conflict going on inside of you. And how I know it? Because the Word of God says you do. And you got a battle. And the battleground is you. Okay? Are you by faith going to follow the Spirit, or are you by unbelief going to live in the flesh? Because it is a choice of your faith. Now watch verse 18, because here's the answer. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under what? The law. If you're led of the Spirit, this would be grace, right? Then you're not under what? The law. So what does that have to do with any of this? Now we're going to pick back up in 18, go down through some more stuff. But what does that have to do with what we're talking about on the board? What does the law say to you? The law says perform to be accepted, right? Now what does grace say? No performance, you're accepted in my Son. The law is the principle that the flesh operates under. My flesh looks at you guys and say, when you come in this room, you perform by being quiet or I won't be happy with you. And I'm mad at the whole room because you failed me once again. That's the law, but that's this guy. Okay? The Spirit says, glad to see you. Glad you're here. Come on in. Kick your shoes off. Stay a while. Yeah, have a donut or three. Okay? So what that has to do right here, by the way, the Spirit of God will never lead you to live under the law. So if you find yourself in a PBA, performance-based acceptance situation, system, PBAS, then you know what you are? You're in the flesh. You're not walking in the law. That's why I started out the way I did in the very beginning about the commands in grace. Don't think because God tells you to do something that it's a law under grace. Because you know what that is? That is a little thing called an excuse to not perform what you've been told to perform. And it's really over here in this old sin nature. The law, to walk in the flesh, is synonymous with walking under the law. To go back under the law program, that's not who you are. That's not a choice of faith. It's a choice of unbelief. So that's why, starting in verse 19, he's going to give you a system of objective standards outside of you to know when you're walking in the flesh. Okay? Now follow this. From 19 down to 21, he's going to give you a system of objective standards to know when you're walking, when you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. To be able to objectively, outside of yourself, identify them. You know why he does this? Because he don't trust you. Because you could be doing this stuff in 19, 20, and 21 and say, I'm walking in the Spirit. Why? Because the heart is deceitfully wicked, isn't it? Mark 7. Go over there, read Mark 7. Boy, it comes from within. Yeah, it's got everything is right. The heart is suspected, and above all, is wicked. You don't know your heart. The only one that knows your heart is God. Well, I do know my heart. Baloney, you don't know your heart. Give it time. It'll manifest that you don't know jack about you, about your heart. That's why in 5:22 now, he'll give you the same objective standards to know how you're walking in the Spirit. Because you can have joy and love and be right there in the flesh. What do you think fornication and adultery is to the flesh? It's love and joy. It is. So you know what he does? He says, okay, here's an objective standard to measure things by, so it's not left to your opinion. Because you know what your opinion is going to say? I am not in the flesh, I am walking in the Spirit, and the Word of God says, no, you bozo, you're over here fulfilling the lust of your flesh, and you need to knock it off. And then everybody gets mad at the preacher, me, when I come around and say, look, you're walking in the flesh, knock it off. And then I get yacked at. I don't care, whoop-de-doo, I got big shoulders. 46, 44 regular now. Okay? That's what's going on here. Now, when you... Look at Romans 6 with me. Go back there real quick. Because there's something here that... Do you see what's going on? I hope so. When you talk about law, and you talk about grace. 9 out of 10 of you, probably all of you, instantly think about time past, but now, ages to come. Israel, body. Right? Right division. There's more going on than that. Look at 6:14, Romans 6:14. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Did I miss something in that verse? I missed the first half of that verse, didn't I? 9 out of 10 of you quote that verse the last half only. You missed the first half. What does the first half say? For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For ye are not under the law, but you're under grace. You see, we got a little deeper than just rightly dividing the word out between law and grace, didn't we? How in the world do I know that I can control and defeat this guy on a daily basis? Because I live in a system of grace over here when it's already been defeated for me. I don't have to seek, strive, try, do anything. It's already done for me. I just got to rest and relax and come to an understanding of who I am in Christ. And when I get that, then guess what I don't want to do? The natural external compulsion of the inward understanding in my inner man is to say, I am not going to fulfill that. And when I do fulfill that, I'm not going to fall flat on my face, 1 John 1:9, it to death. I'm going to recognize it, that that is what it is, and it's called, a little thing called sin. Okay? And because it's sin, my Savior died for it, so guess where I need to go back to? To who I am in Christ, and reorient my thinking to who I am in Christ. You follow that? See, when we talk about law and grace, most of the time we're just talking about the right division stuff, but Paul gets to talking about it deeper than that. And that's what's going on in Galatia. So, back in Galatians here, when he talks here about walking in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, when my thinking is so driven by this, the source of life, the Word of God rightly divided, the sound doctrine, the sound mind, the sound teaching, then I can say, I walk in the Spirit, and I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The battle is there. The command is to walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The conflict is that the flesh is still there. It's not going away. But the counsel is, the way to deal with the conflict, the way to deal with it objectively, is to have an objective walk in the Spirit. And that causes a constant watch of what you're doing. It causes a constant watch for the negative, the anti-life, and the death. We're going to go down, we'll go on down in this passage, and we're going to look at these things, spend some time looking at that stuff. Because what Paul does is he says, listen guys, my heart's desire for you is to walk in the Spirit. I'm commanding you to walk in the Spirit. But he tells you how to do that. Here's the objective standard of what it looks like. Here's what this looks like. You're in the middle. Which do you choose? The flesh or the Spirit? Well, I choose the Spirit. Great. This is what it's going to look like. Love, joy, patience, peace. If you see yourself over here, in that performance-based system under the law, you know what you've done? You've left the walk of the Spirit. Now, let me say it this way, we got to be done. When you got saved, okay, all spiritual blessings hit you, the cribs, circumcised, regenerated, indwelt, baptized, sealed, all that happens to you. Instantly, you don't feel it, it happens to you in the moment, the millisecond of saying, I believe. Okay? At that moment, you know where you're walking? Right there. You know that? What is the will of God? Who will have all men to be saved, right? You were doing His will. You're right there. Now what happens is, as we get up from that event, now we got a choice to make. Do I continue to walk? That's why I said this is a new construction. That new creature, he takes you and reverses everything. Now I have a decision to make. Do I continue to walk in here or do I walk over here? Now how do I make that decision, right? It's called study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. I got to get in there and start studying what this is all about. Because he doesn't, as Dad says, bore a hole inside your head and dump it in there. He doesn't do that. You got to study. You know why? You know why he doesn't do that? Because of that right there. Faith. He doesn't want a robot worshiping him. He wants you to, by the free will of your own volition, of your own choices, to come along and say, voila. Okay? So, Leonard just texted me. He's watching online. So, he's the first to do this. So, can anyone say that they're walking in the Spirit? The answer is yes. Paul did. I do. Now, I'm not always perfect. Why? Because I got a conflict. But I know how to handle the conflict. Okay? You can say the same thing. Probably a bunch of you do. You're just not as proudful and boldful as I to say that you do that. Okay? You know, Paul isn't saying you're going to do it perfectly every day, all day long. He says, have this mindset. Have this thinking. Don't have that thinking. Do you guys follow that? Okay, now we'll pick up in 18 and go down. You need to see your makeup. That's the big thing. You're made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. Okay? Unsaved, it reverses. But saved, it's this way. And your design, your inner man, your new man is designed to think in this rotation. Not this way. Okay? All right. Do I dare ask if there's any questions? I need to stop the tape if there are. If not, you're dismissed. Thank you for your patience.